Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
One or two notices to begin with. I've been looking at notices at the moment. Holy Trinity APCM is today. St. Margaret's APCM is on the 17th of May, which is next week, following the 9:30 service, which will be shortened. So the service will be condensed form of Holy Communion, lasting 30 to 40 minutes. Service. Tuesday morning coffee, 10 a.m. in the sanctuary. Wednesday art group meets 10 o'clock in the sanctuary. Thursday art group meets 10 to 12 in the sanctuary. And sanctuary cafe meets at 2 p.m. on Thursday. The youth group will be meeting at 5 o'clock today, I think. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day the Lord has made. And our first hymn, Love Divine. All Loves Excelling, number 377.
Divine, all loves excelling.
We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear God's and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and in faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in our image, in your image. Now through the deep waters of death you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ your light ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now we come to our second hymn, number 44. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Number 44.
Thank you.
Now we come up to our first reading from the Old Testament.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Job, starting at chapter 19, beginning to read at verse 23. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in a rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Now the Old Testament canticle, the song. Blessed are you, God of Israel, for ever and ever.
For yours is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the splendor, and the majesty.
Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Riches and honour come from you. In your hand are power and might.
Yours it is to give power and strength to all.
And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name. For all things come from you,
and of your own have we given you.
Glory to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Now we come to our second reading from the New Testament.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead.
And Christ shall give you life.
You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Awake, O sleeper.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
And Christ shall give you light.
When Christ our life appears, you will appear with him in glory.
Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light.
Now we stand for the Benedictus, and we'll say all of it together. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his promised prophets, God promised of old, to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his might all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. The tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high, shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts in all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Please be seated. A reading from John chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. A cartoon in the Saturday Evening Post showed a young boy, about 5 or 6, talking on the telephone. He says, "Mum is in hospital. The twins and Roxy and Billy and Sally and the dog and me and Dad are all at home, alone." 6 people and a dog were there, but Mum was missing. Did you ever wonder that some of the mothers in the Bible might have said to their children? A friend of mine published a list a few months ago, and I thought I'd like to share with you this morning. "Samson, get your hand out of that lion. You don't know where it's been. David, I tell you not to play in the house with that sling. Go and practice your harp. We pay good money for those lessons. Abraham, stop wandering around the countryside and get home for supper. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, leave those clothes alone. You smell like a dirty old furnace. Cain, get off your brother. You've got to kill him someday. Noah, no, you can't keep them, I told you. Don't bring home any more strays. Gideon, look at your clothes. Have you been hiding in that white press? Been hiding in that wine press again? James and John, no more burping contests at the dinner table, please. People are going to call you the sons of thunder. Judas, have you been at my purse again? Jesus, close that door. Do you think you were born in a barn? One of the fondest memories I have of my mother isn't her cooking and cleaning, though I think she lived in the kitchen. My fondest memory will always be Christmas and underwear. Mum always checked to make sure we had put on clean underwear in case we got hit by a bus. Don't ask me how that would help, but it was one of her rules. At Christmas, Mum always gave us underwear and socks. She said we needed them. She wrapped them all separately, so it looked like there was even more under that tree. About 3 or 4 years ago, my sister and I had been harassing Mum about that habit. And when Christmas rolled down that year, after all the presents were opened, we were sitting around admiring each other's gifts. Mum got up and came back with 3 more packages and said, "Oh, I forgot these," and handed them to us. You guessed it. Underwear and socks. She had the last word. A religious cynic once said, "God made humanity on the last day of creation. When he realized what he'd done, he took off and went into hiding." The search to find God is what we call religion. Wrong answer. That's not the biblical witness either. When God created humanity, God said it was very good. God didn't take off and go into hiding. On the contrary, from the very beginning, God made himself totally accessible to mankind. Most importantly, God wants a personal relationship with us. God created us. We are one of God's creative masterpieces. Did you ever wish you had a friend in high places? Anyone to help when the chips are down? Did you ever wish that you had somebody to talk to when you were lonely? Someone to listen to your problems, someone who cared, someone would love you even if you were in the wrong. Have you ever heard someone say, "He doesn't have a prayer," or "She doesn't have a prayer"? Have you ever felt like that? You didn't have a prayer, that you were hopeless. When we feel hopeless, wouldn't it be nice to have a prayer? Wouldn't it nice to have to be able to talk to God and to know that he's listening? Wouldn't it be nice to know that God loves us and will help? Because if God loves us, we're not hopeless. If God loves us and will help us, things will work out. Perhaps we never felt hopeless. Perhaps we're one of those beautiful people we see in magazines with symmetrical features, good hair, perfect teeth, great talent. Or perhaps we're a good athlete, or we always get A's on tests, or make people laugh. Or perhaps we have succeeded in our career. Or things just are going well for us. There are people like that, you know, or at least it seems that way, beautiful, successful, never in doubt. But beautiful people have their problems too. Philip Yancey, the author, talks about interviewing the beautiful people, famous football players, stars, TV personalities. He tells us how we idolize them, how we want to be like them, how we want to know every detail of their lives, their clothes, their romances, even their toothpaste. Then he goes on to say, yet I must tell you that in my limited experience, these are idols, are as miserable group of people as I have ever met. Most people have broken or most of them have troubled or broken marriages. Nearly all are hopeless dependent on psychotherapy, tormented by incurable self-doubt. Hard to imagine, isn't it? But we know that it's true. We need not feel odd if we too sometimes feel lonely, isolated, uncertain. That is part of the human condition. This is how Jesus' disciples felt: lonely, isolated, uncertain. You might even say that they felt betrayed. Jesus was talking about leaving them. He was talking about dying. The disciples had made great sacrifices to follow Jesus. They had staked everything on him. They had walked away from their fishing businesses. They had left home and gone and from home and hearth. They had allowed themselves to believe that Jesus was the one who would turn everything round, who would make everything right. They believed that he was the Messiah, the one who would save Israel. And then he's now talking about leaving them. Can you imagine how they felt? The sense of betrayal. Why had Jesus asked to follow him if he intended to leave them? Why had he brought them this far only to abandon them? Jesus knew that his disciples were afraid, so he made them a promise. He said, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. The New Testament was written in Greek, and the word translated comforter is parakletos. It means someone called in to help. A parakletos would not be called in to help in our hour of need. Would be anyone called to help in our hour of need. Jesus, knowing that he would soon ascend back to the Father, promised his disciples a parakletos. Jesus promised his disciples that this parakletos would be with them forever. And this is where we come in. The parakletos that Jesus promised to these first disciples is available to us as well. The parakletos is there to help us when we need help, to guide us when we need guidance, to steer us rightly, to protect us from harm. When Jesus talked about the parakletos, he was talking about what elsewhere is called the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit dwelling within us, God's Spirit living in our hearts. The promise that Jesus made to these first disciples is a promise to us as well. Jesus has made it possible for us to have a helper on whom we can call in time of need. God with us, God dwelling in our hearts. I remember reading about Colonel Thomas Schaefer, the highest ranking military officer in the US embassy in Tehran. When the embassy was overrun and the Americans taken prisoner. Colonels are seasoned veterans and tend to be strong, and Schaefer was no exception. However, being taken prisoner in a hostile nation, not knowing if he heard to see his family again, held in solitary confinement in a tiny cell with nothing to read and nothing to do, he found himself at the edge of his limits. But he was a Christian, and so he got down on his knees and prayed, "God, I cannot handle this. I need your help." He says, "And I got it." He received the help that he needed to survive those long, seemingly endless days of captivity. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave him the strength that he needed. John Claypool is a minister whose little daughter was diagnosed with leukemia. He thought, "I don't believe I can survive if she should die." But he was a man of faith and called on God to help him. He describes what happened. He says, "The truth of the matter was that in this crisis did bring its own special potencies with it. Looking ahead, I would say, I don't think I can stand it. But looking back, I would say, I do not know how I was able to survive. But the truth is that we did. All I know is God did provide as he had promised. And coming to trust in him is enormously encouraging to me as I face the future." As we see from these examples, those who live in the presence of the Holy Spirit cannot expect easy lives. Jesus never promised a bed of roses. But the Spirit helps us to prevail, no matter how difficult the circumstances. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit, and he has delivered on that promise. We receive the Holy Spirit at our baptism and can expect the Spirit to help us when we need, any time, day or night. We can expect the Spirit to guide us rightly. The only question is whether we will follow faithfully. If we will, God will bless us with lives that become stronger day by day, with faith to drive out our fear, with lives solid at the core. So I'd like to close with an old prayer. It says this: "O Lord, help me to understand that you are not going to let anything come my way that you and I can't handle together." Amen. We stand for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And our next hymn, "When We Walk with the Lord," 599. 599. Please be seated. Now, Deborah will come and pray with us and for us.
Let us pray. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. Lord, we thank you for all that you are and all that you have done for us out of your infinite love. You are our Saviour, and your hard-won victory over death has rescued us to live in the promise of everlasting light and joy when we will stand before you face to face. Let us encourage one another with this truth. Strengthen our faith so that we, in turn, can show the love which comes from the Holy Spirit living within us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for the rich diversity of our minds and wills, enabling us to be free to find our own way of worshipping you. Teach us to be open to others' ideas and ways of serving you. Help us to be prepared to learn from them and also to share our own works and experiences as we try to follow in your footsteps. We pray for all who are unable to express their faith freely within oppressive regimes. May they be encouraged by knowing the support of fellow Christians throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember today the victims of war and turmoil. We struggle to understand the reasons behind the many inhumane acts of violence that have occurred over recent months, and yet we know that in the midst of such events, your love is shown in acts of bravery, selflessness, and compassion. We pray for all who work for peace and unity, and for all of those in positions of power, that they will seek equitable solutions to bring an end to the suffering of so many in their charge. We bring before you those who live in perpetual fear, that they will find comfort in you, the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our local community and ask that you will help us to connect this fellowship to our friends and neighbours. We bring before you our youth group and also the continuing work of the Sanctuary Cafe. We thank you that you are at the heart of these endeavours, supporting the helpers and surrounding those who attend with the warmth of the work of our ministry team and also our upcoming annual parochial church meetings, guiding the discussions and decisions that are to be made on behalf of the benefice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Lord, we pray to you for all who are unwell or finding life difficult at the moment. Help us to be sensitive to their needs and to share their burden in any way we can. Today we bring to you Amanda R., Bob V., Carol and Jeff, Chris and his family, Graham Lang, Harry and Sheila Knox, Laura G., Sandra Mason, and Sheila Cousins. And in a short moment of silence, anyone else on our hearts this morning. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember the lives of those who have died in recent days. Joan Burrell, Malcolm Eddington, Audrey Ferguson, Ronnie Jones, and Richard White. Send the comfort of your Holy Spirit on their loved ones as we look together for the coming of your heavenly kingdom, when we will be reunited in everlasting life with you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Finally, a prayer for ourselves. that as we go from this church today to start the week ahead, we walk more closely with you in everything we do, and with the full confidence that comes with knowing that you are always by our side. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Deborah. The Collect. Risen Christ, your wounds declare your love for the world and the wonder of your risen life. Give us compassion and courage to risk ourselves for those we serve, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Together we say the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now we come to our final hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Number 519.
Thank you.
God, our salvation, you have restored us to life. You have brought back us back again into your love by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit to your praise and glory. And we face each other over the aisle and we say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please be seated.